for this morning. Thank you for each person that is here, Lord, and that you know, by your Spirit, brought us here. And thank you for this series that we've been going through in Ecclesiastes. And as we finish it up, Lord, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would speak to each of our hearts as only you can. I can speak to the audience, but God, you can speak to the individual heart through the words that I prepared and the words from your word, the Bible. So Lord, speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've been talking about, really in this series, what is most important? What brings meaning to your life? What really matters? And that's something I want you to think about. It's kind of the big thought for today, is what really matters to you in your life? There's many things that are important to us, many things, and we kind of see what's important by how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our energy. If you look at those things, you can kind of see what's important to you, whether you think it's important or not. Just look at some of those areas. You know, we desire happiness, right? We've talked about that a lot. We desire meaning. We desire kind of purpose. A lot of times we go through life and we just kind of go through the motions. We go to work and we come home and we do this and do that. But there are times, and hopefully this series has been one of those times, where we stop and we take time to really think about what really matters. What is bringing meaning and purpose to my life? You know, Solomon was on that search of what really matters. And he wrote this journal. I've called it a journal because that's kind of what I think it is. But it's a book that we call Ecclesiastes. And he's basically, it's kind of an autobiography about him being honest with his life. And if you've read through this book, and maybe some of you have been here for maybe most, if not all, the messages or some of them, you've seen here that he's kind of shared about the troubles. He's shared about the distractions of his life. And he's been pretty honest. And really, kind of our sermon series has been called Let's Talk About Life, because that's really what he's done as he's gone through these different chapters. He's talked about life and what's really important. And so he's trying to help us to be honest with ourselves. He was honest with himself. He wants us to be honest with ourselves and with God and with the problems and kind of the distractions of this life. So as I mentioned, Solomon's been honest. He's opened up about his life. He's opened about his failures, right? We've seen a lot of his failures. We've seen a lot of his even despair and his famous word. What's his most famous word in this book? Life is? Oh, some of you forgot it. Meaningless, right? Life is what? Meaningless. That was his favorite word, which unfortunately is not a very encouraging word. But he uses it at least 30 times. He talks about life. He talks about his life. Life under the sun. Remember what under the sun means? It means life without God. Life, just looking at life, just what's right here. He says, if you just kind of look at life and live life under the sun, he says, it's meaningless. That word literally means it's a vapor. Sometimes we get satisfaction and we get joy out of certain things, but he says they eventually pretty quickly evaporate and they don't bring that lasting meaning. He says actually it's like striving after the wind. It's like trying to catch the wind. You ever tried to catch the wind? I mean, you know, I know that, you know, we have the windmills and stuff like that, but ultimately you can't catch the wind. He said that's what sometimes chasing after this life with all the things without God is like chasing after the wind. It's just meaningless. And he shared, just kind of review, he shared about a bunch of things that he focused on his life that didn't ultimately bring satisfaction. He sought wisdom. I mean, God actually gave him wisdom when he was young. He was pretty wise, actually. Before he had wisdom, he asked God for wisdom, and God gave him this knowledge and this wisdom. And he tried to have meaning of that, but he said, you know what, that really didn't bring that much satisfaction. Actually, it was kind of discouraging because I knew all this stuff that life was going wrong and how we're supposed to live, but most of us, and myself included, weren't living that way. But he said, you know, I also tried education, kind of long knowledge. As we'll see even at the end of this chapter, he says, you know, all kinds of readings of books and study, he says, you know, they still don't satisfy. They still don't ultimately bring meaning. They just kind of bring more knowledge. And so he moved on to other things. He says, you know what? I know what'll make me happy. I know what'll bring me encouragement and purpose is power. Solomon was king. I mean, if anybody could have power, he did. And he used it in many ways, in good ways, some not so good. But he was king. He had all kinds of things. Basically anybody under his disposal that he could tell what to do and what not to do. And yet, even with that, he said, man, that's kind of meaningless because really it doesn't last. And so he moved from there, and of course, being king, he said, you know what? I know what'll make me happy. I know what I'll strive after is money and possessions. And he had more than anyone. I mean, we talked about the gold. He had, you know, just millions, if not billions of dollars worth of gold. He had all kinds of gardens. He had palaces. He even helped build the temple. And yet, he himself said, you know, man, I've got all this stuff, but there's still this emptiness within my heart. And so he moved on to something that surely would bring more meaning. And for most of us, this is something that does bring some happiness, and that is relationships. And so he focused on relationships. He focused on pleasures. Matter of fact, he thought, well, this one didn't quite work out, so I'll find another one. So he had one wife, and then he had another, and then another. And it literally says he had hundreds of wives that he could have, basically anybody that he wanted since he was king. And yet through all of this, he says it still didn't satisfy the deepest longings of his heart. There was still that emptiness of his soul, of his deepest longings. And you know, I think if you've been around very long, some of you, we have some young people, we have some of us who've been around a little longer, that eventually you come to find out that even those things that you really desire, you get them and you enjoy them, but then all of a sudden, it's like, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. But here's something I want to encourage you with this morning. As we close, there's actually some encouraging words that Solomon will give us. And that's this, that meaninglessness does not get the last word. Maybe it had the most words, right? It had the most times used, but it doesn't get the last and final word this morning. We caught glimpses, actually, the last few weeks of meaning and purpose at various places in Ecclesiastes. We saw last week how he challenged young people especially to remember God, to walk with God when you're young. And then he also said, you know what, those of you who are older, I know death's coming soon, and you need to remember and walk with God too. He said, if you really want to find meaning, then remember, walk with God. And we talked about how last week, to remember God and to enjoy life as God created. God wants us to enjoy this life. I believe that. That's why he created us. He created us to enjoy this life. And as we're going to see, the only way that ultimately we can find that enjoyment, that last enjoyment, is through a relationship with him. A relationship with him. So today we come to the end of Ecclesiastes. He's finished his words of wisdom. He's finished with the number of proverbs he's written, these lessons in life, and he wraps it all up on what really matters in life. And he comes to the end, we come to the end of Ecclesiastes. As we come to these last verses, we'll read in a minute. Some people, just kind of let you know a little bit of history, some people believe that actually these last verses were written by somebody else other than Solomon, kind of a commentator that came and kind of summarized the ending of what Solomon had learned. And kind of a, like I said, a final commentary. Others believe, and I personally believe, at least at this point, that I think Solomon still wrote these words. Now, whether he did or not, ultimately I don't think are important. I mean, I don't think that the truth is still truth. It's God's word. But we see here he talks in the third person, which sometimes when people write, they do that. And he kind of shares his conclusion of what him as the teacher found out. And he wants us to get this final wisdom, these learnings that he lived and that he learned in his life. So with that, I hope you have Bibles. Turn to Ecclesiastes 12, 9 through 14. It's the last verses of Ecclesiastes. It'll be on the screen as well, but I hope you have your Bible, and there might be some things you want to circle or underline. Mine have a number of things in there, but I'll point out to you. But let's read the whole thing, and then we'll come back and look at different parts as we move through. It says this, not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs, many wise sayings. The teacher, remember that's what he called himself, the teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. See, the words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and of much study actually wearies the body. But now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Here's what really, really matters, he says. Fear God and keep his commandments, For this is the whole duty of mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Solomon here sought to impart wisdom from God in this book to anyone who would listen, including us even today, even to those in future generations as long as the Lord tarries. Solomon pondered. He searched diligently for wisdom. He looked at his own life and the mistakes that he had made, and he realized, you know what? God has shown me some important truths that I need to share. And he believed that this was given to him by God, given to him by the one shepherd. God, we see here, God's wisdom, he says, is honest and it's true. It's honest and true. Solomon sought to be honest and to be truthful. He was honest in that he showed how life is, not necessarily as life we want it to be. Okay? He showed life as it is rather than just the way that we hope it would be. He was honest about his failings, wasn't he? If you've been here, you heard about a lot of different failings that he acknowledged in his own life, of living life under the sun, living much of his life without considering God, even though he grew up knowing God. But he was also not only honest, he was true. He didn't sugarcoat the truth, did he? He didn't sugarcoat anything about his life. He just said, you know what? This is what's true. This is what God has shown me. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, he said this meaningless, this emptiness is actually a good thing. Do you remember that? Some of you heard that, I think it was 3 weeks ago. We talked about how this meaninglessness, this emptiness within our soul, within our heart, actually is a good thing. It's something that actually God has placed within us that if it's not filled by him, we're going to feel that emptiness. Why? Why would God place that within us? To draw us to him, right? To drive us to him, to draw us to him. Some of you have faced that in your life. You've kind of felt that emptiness. You've done all these things. You've achieved a bunch of goals, and yet there's still that emptiness. There's still that, isn't there more to life than just this? As he says, everything is a vapor. It quickly disappears without God, without Jesus. Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes to have us take an honest look at our lives and the truth from God of what really matters. And so I hope as we finish this last sermon here, this last part of the series, that you'll stop and consider in your own life, as even as I'm sharing, that God would speak to you what really matters in your life. These truths here are from the shepherd to point us to him. In verse 11, it says that Solomon says what was written, what he wrote, was given by one shepherd. By one shepherd. It's interesting, this idea of shepherd is throughout the Bible, right? We're probably familiar with that. Many of you probably are familiar with Psalm 23, right? Solomon's own father, David, wrote Psalm 23. We know, some of us memorize it, we know the first part, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not lack. Psalm 80 also talks about God as shepherd. Psalm 80 starts out and says, "Hear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." And there's other times in the Old Testament, other pictures of God as shepherd and we as sheep. But we also know Jesus himself came, and in John chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Right? Familiar with that? Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." So to read Ecclesiastes, Solomon is saying, is to hear the shepherd's voice. This is God speaking through me, he says. The question for you and me this morning, and really not just this morning, but as you go through life, is will you listen? Will we listen to the shepherd's voice in our lives? Solomon didn't listen for quite a time. Will we listen? There's a lot of advice, there's a lot of books, there's a lot of wisdom that's out there, whether it's a college, you know, or whether things you listen to on the radio or watch on TV, or just so you talk around with other friends who've got opinions, right? So all kinds of truth out there. But who are we going to listen to? God's word, the shepherd's word, he says, is honest or upright, he says, and true. So it shouldn't surprise us that our shepherd uses some shepherd tools to guide us in his word, in his truth, in his wisdom. The truths of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, the shepherd, they're like goads. If you were here the very first week, the very first sermon that we had in this series, we looked at the beginning, the first chapter, as well as we actually looked at this passage here a little bit, which God's word, he says, is like a goad. How many of you remember what a goad is? Not a goat, a goad. Remember what it is? Anybody kind of describe it? A prod, yeah. It's like a shepherd's staff, but it has like basically kind of like a little prod or a nail or something that had little cactus things on the end. And basically, the goal was to prod the sheep in a direction to get them going, right? The truths of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, are the same. God's word is also a prod to us. It's to prod us. And sometimes even, yes, bring pain, right? It probably wasn't too, you know, pleasant when you got prodded by those goats. It wasn't meant to be pleasant. It was what meant to move you. And sometimes God does that. He does that through his word if we listen. The goads of God's word prod us into action to the truths that we've learned. I hope that they do that for you and for me. That we don't just listen to the word, but we, what? Do the word. We obey the word, as we'll see later. It prods us to remember, as we saw last week, that life is short. It talked about last week. Life is short. Whether you live to be at like 120, I think is that the oldest person we talked about last week, or whether we die much younger. Life is short. But no matter what age that we are, God's word is to prod us, to steer us, to find our satisfaction in him. To find our satisfaction not in the things of this world, but in God. Jesus and his word prod us to go out and to do what he calls us to do as his people, and calls us to be who he calls us to be as his people. As we'll see in a moment, that calls us and pushes us out to trust and obey him. But there's another tool that the shepherd used. It's a nail, or many believe the same translation could be, it's a tent stake. And what does a nail do? What does a tent stake? It holds you in, right? It keeps the sheep from moving out. And so he says here, not only is God's word like a prod, or like a goat that prods you out, it's also like a tent stake that keeps you in. It's both. It keeps you in from going to places that God doesn't want you to go, right? He doesn't want us to wander from his truths, from his commands. He doesn't want us to wander away from him. He doesn't want us to wander into dangers and harm, just like sheep would if they were left on their own. They weren't too smart, were they? I mean, then some of you have had sheep. Do you have sheep? I can't remember. Do you guys have sheep? No? Okay. Goats? Yeah, goats. Okay. Are they just as dumb as sheep or smarter? I don't know. Smarter. Okay. Yeah, that's what you get. But sheep are not the brightest. They go wherever, you know, their nose leads them usually. And sometimes that's into danger and harm. You know, we're not the brightest people sometimes as well. Because, right, we're a sinful people. We're selfish people. All the words he wrote in Ecclesiastes are for us to learn from. At times they prod us out of our comfort zone. They push us to do things for God, to do things for others that maybe we wouldn't do on our own thoughts. But they're also like nails that keep us from making the same mistakes that Solomon made. He says, you know what? Don't go to these areas. I've tried them. So here's the question. What really matters in life, right? What really matters in this life? And as I mentioned here, Solomon says, you know, don't pursue wealth. Don't pursue education. Don't pursue success as a means for bringing you happiness and security and fulfillment. As we'll talk about later, those things aren't necessarily bad, but they're not going to bring that lasting fulfillment. He says, you know what? Don't even think that the pleasures of this life, so much a part of the United States, the pleasures of entertainment, of sex, of relationships, of all those things, he says, those things are not going to satisfy you either. Yeah, they'll be fun for a little while. You'll have some enjoyment, but ultimately they can't bring lasting happiness. They can't bring lasting fulfillment. They don't bring, certainly, eternal reward. See, as only God can. Now, something I want you to hear clearly is many of those things are not bad in themselves. They're not bad when they're done according to God, right? According to his plan, according to his ways. But ultimately, we can only find that meaning when we are satisfied in God. When we find our meaning and purpose in God, that's really what Solomon comes to conclude. Let's look what he says. We read it earlier, but I want to read it again to remind you what really matters. He says this, verse 13 and 14. He says, "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it's evil." So what really, really matters, I believe he's saying, is following God. It's not really rocket science, you know, in many ways. There was a Shakespearean actor who was known far and wide for his one-man shows of readings and citations from the classics, lots of Shakespearean stuff, lots of other classics. And he would always end his performance by reciting Psalm 23. And as he would recite this, the people, the audience would just be in a quiet. They would just be paying attention, this listen attentively. And he would start out, of course, he would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then at the conclusion of this psalm, almost every time, pretty much every time, the crowd would rise in applause and give him a standing ovation for his performance, especially of that last psalm. But one night, just before he was about to give his customary recital of Psalm 23, a young man near the front actually raised his hand and raised his voice and said, "Sir, do you mind if I recite the 23rd Psalm tonight? Would you mind if I could do that?" And of course, the actor was quite taken aback. I mean, this never had happened before. But you know, he's like, okay, this seems pretty respectful. And so he said, "Sure, come on up." And so he came up and he allowed the young man to come forward and to take front and center and to begin to recite Psalm 23, knowing that this young man's ability was going to be nowhere near his. He's a professional actor. He'd been doing this forever. He was no match for his own talent. But he thought, you know, I'll give this young man. He was like, I don't know, 20s, early 20s. And so with a soft voice, the young man began to recite the words of Psalm 23. And as was expected, after he finished, there was no applause. There was no standing ovation for him. Matter of fact, it was pretty quiet. All that could be heard were the quiet sounds of some that were weeping and just the sounds of silence. You see, the audience had been so moved by this young man's recitation that many of their eyes were full of tears. And it was just almost totally silent. Amazed by what he heard, the actor asked the young man, he said, "I don't understand. I've been performing the 23rd Psalm for years, and I have a lifetime of experience and training and reciting poetry and reciting, you know, things like this. I've never been able to move an audience like you did. Tell me, what's your secret?" And the young man very humbly replied, he said, "Well, sir, you know the psalm, but I know the shepherd. You know the psalm. You know the words. But he knew the shepherd." You know, it's not just enough to know about Ecclesiastes. We've gone through it. Many of you have been here for much of it. It's not just enough to know about some of the truths that we've learned. See, what is most important, as we see here, is to know the shepherd, to know God, the one who gives meaning to this life. You see, we don't just know about God. That's not why we're here, to know about God. It is to know God personally, kind of like a shepherd. What really, really matters is following God, knowing God as your shepherd. So here's the question for all of us is, do you know God? Do you know Jesus as your shepherd? We'll look at that a little bit more at the very end. You know, at the end of verse 13, Solomon says this, "For this is the whole duty of mankind, of each person, man, woman, child." In other words, he's saying, you know what, this is what life is all about. This is what really matters. He says, what does it mean to follow God? He says, fear God. Fear God. You know, some people hear that word, fear God, and they think, oh, I'm supposed to be afraid of God? Oh, that means I'm supposed to be afraid. I don't want to follow any God I'm supposed to be afraid of. Well, the truth is, if you don't fear God, then you should be afraid of God. Kind of, it's serious. If you don't fear God, you should be afraid of God, or at least the consequences of meeting God, in the sense that, as he says here, we are all accountable to our Creator. But when it says to fear God, this word literally means to stand in awe, to show respect, to worship God. Those are other synonyms of to fear God. When we fear God, we take him seriously. We take him seriously. We hold him in the highest regard above everything and everyone else. That's what it means to fear. You know, we hold so many things as important in our lives, and there's a lot of things that are important, right? But there's so many things that God has blessed us with as gifts, and yet so many times, what do? We worship the gifts rather than the giver, right? We worship the gifts of our material possessions, the gifts of our career that God has given to you, the gifts of our families, our family that God has given to us. We worship them. We hold them in more revere or honor than we do God. We try to find happiness and meaning first in those things rather than in the giver of those things. Is that you? I know sometimes it's me, even though I don't want to. Sometimes I really do. I worship, in a sense, I put more importance and more desire for those things than I do for God. But let us not worship the gifts, but the giver of these gifts. Let our lives be in awe, in respect, in worship of God. Yes, in fear of our great God. Let us be satisfied in Jesus, our shepherd. Because as we've heard over and over and over and over in Ecclesiastes, he says, all is meaningless without God. All that stuff that we have, yes, it may last us for maybe even 100 years, but it's a vapor compared to eternity. Find satisfaction, find joy in following Jesus and his wisdom. And when we do that, he says here, you will find true satisfaction and meaning. I hope that you're experiencing that more and more, because it's hard, isn't it? In this life, sometimes it's hard. There's a lot of things, as we've heard, that try to gather our attention and our focus on finding that happiness and meaning. But I want to challenge us to find our greatest satisfaction in God. Some of you were here maybe a couple weeks ago when Jim Lincoln came and shared. And he shared about the greatest treasure, the treasure of Jesus, the treasure of the gospel, and that is worth so much more than anything else that we could possibly have. I hope that's true for you. I'm finding this out more and more as life goes on. You know, another part of following God, a part of fearing God, of worshiping and respecting God, is obeying him. See, what really, really matters is, he says, what? Keeping God's commands, or obeying God. And I put here, what really matters is trusting and obeying God. It's pretty simple. He said, do what he says. Do what he says. But you know, the truth is, you and I will only obey God if we trust him. That's what I put in there. It's true. You will only obey God if you really believe that he has your best in mind, that he has your happiness and joy and satisfaction in life in mind. If you don't, then you're going to go and try to do stuff your own way because you think there's a better way than God has, right? Let's admit it. But do you really trust him that he knows and has what is best for us? He gave us the book of Ecclesiastes. He's given us his word. He's given us the Bible to give us his instructions, to give us his truths as goads to push us out and as nails to keep us in, to know when to go out and to know when to stay in. But it's only when you really trust and obey him that you're going to enjoy life as he intended, like we talked about last week. We're meant to enjoy the things of this life. You're meant to enjoy food and drink. You're meant to enjoy relationships. You're meant to enjoy sex within the context of marriage. You're meant to enjoy your work and your career. And yes, you're meant to enjoy the blessings of that, of money or possessions that God has blessed you with, all within the context of him, a relationship with him, and his word. God has blessed us. We no longer seek our means to happiness through those other things, right? But rather, those other things, all those things I just mentioned and many more, are actually ways to worship God. You can worship God through all those things I mentioned as you put Him first. We no longer seek those things as a means to happiness, to help us feel important or to make us feel wanted, because we're already important and wanted because of our relationship with God. We choose to obey God in all these areas and more because we really believe that God calls us to enjoy life. As we talked about last week, some of you weren't here, maybe you need to go back and listen to that message online, but to enjoy life as God intended. As one author stated, the greatest thing in life is to come before the one true God in worship and obedience. In worship and obedience. When we do this, we are who we're created to be. We are then who we were created to be, and we find our greatest meaning and fulfillment in Him. But there's one last aspect we can't neglect. It's something that's obviously really important to understand. We read it earlier. Let me finish off with verse 14. He says this, "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." A truth we need to understand is that we are accountable to God for the good as well as for the bad. You see, our life matters to God. God gave us life, and we are accountable to Him. How we use our time, how we use our money, how we use our possessions, how we do in our relationships, how we treat others, we are accountable for those things, for good or for bad. And as we touched on last week, God calls us to be accountable. He said to the young people, you know, we said young is kind of 40 and under, you know, if you feel young and you're 45, that's fine, you can put yourself in there. But he said, remember your Creator when you are young. Enjoy life, he said, enjoy life when you are young. But he said at the end, he said, but remember that you're accountable to God. And that goes for all of us, young and old. But here's a cool thing. The final message of Ecclesiastes is not that everything is meaningless, but rather that everything matters. Everything matters if you are following God. As we touched on last week, we're accountable. It all matters to God. Under the sun, nothing matters. If you're just living life under the sun without God, then in a sense, nothing ultimately matters. You're still accountable to God. But he says when you follow God, everything you do matters and makes a difference. Your life matters. How you treat others, all those things you do matter. Why? Because this life is not all there is, right? There's a God in heaven. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says this, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Paul's talking to the church, says, don't judge anything before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. I love it how he's talking to the church. He focuses on the good. He says, you know what? If you're following God, you got some good praise coming. One day God will expose, yes, every secret sin, but he will also expose every anonymous kindness. Every quiet good deed you do, God sees. But here's something you need to know. Most of you know this. We're not judged on how many good things versus bad things we do, okay? That's not how God's judgment works. It's not a scale. See, Romans 3:23 says that we've all sinned. Every single one of us. We've fallen short of God's perfection, his glory. And then later on, Paul says in Romans 6:23, that the wages or the results of sin is death, right? Physical death, we're all going to die physically, but that word death is not just a physical, it's also talking about spiritual. In other words, separation from God. But we have a good shepherd. Even though we are guilty, it says, we have a good shepherd that we talked about earlier. And Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And he followed that, he said, and the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. See, what matters the very most is a relationship with the good shepherd, a relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus died, you probably heard this hundreds of times, or maybe at least 10 times, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins to bring us back to a relationship with God. He took away the sin and judgment. Romans 8:1 says this, therefore there is now no condemnation. There's no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to fear judgment because we have Christ. He took that judgment that we deserve by dying on the cross for our sins. And so, you know, if you've never really acted on that, if you've never asked and received Christ for that forgiveness, for that, it's called salvation, saving us from that judgment, there's no greater day than today to do that. Don't put it off. Don't put off the meaningful life to continue in the meaningless life. Because we are no longer condemned when we have Christ. You see, what really, really matters is following God. It's following God, following Jesus. And I hope that you're doing that. For the past few months, we've talked about life. A lot of what Solomon struggled with and tried to find happiness with is what many of us, many of our friends and family, and some of us are still striving after, right? To find that happiness and meaning. But let's not make the same mistakes. Let's learn. You know, like our parents, and we as parents often say, you know, learn from my mistakes. Solomon's saying, learn. God allowed me, God even, you know, help me through this time so that I could share it with you. So here's, as we close, I just want to ask you to consider just listening to God one more time. Ask you to consider maybe there's one area in this series that God has kind of got a hold of your heart. Maybe it's something I mentioned this morning. Maybe it's from a while ago that I touched on again. But maybe it's an area that God wants you to change in order to follow him. An area that, if you're honest with yourself, you've put that in front of God. And it's different for every single one of us. But really, it's that thing that is kind of bringing you happiness that you think will bring lasting happiness. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your education that's coming up that you're in. For others, it's a relationship. It's a good relationship, but it's a relationship you put in front of God. Or maybe it's seeking after the American dream, whatever that looks like for you, okay? What is it that drives your life? Maybe it's something totally different. But I want to take a moment, and I just invite you, I'm going to do this as well. I've kind of done it earlier this week, but I just invite you, just bow your heads, because it's easier just to close your eyes, just to talk to God, okay? And give you an opportunity to bow your head and just listen to God. And then talk to him about what really matters in your life. So just take just a few moments and just talk to God about making sure that he is what really matters. If you need to keep talking to God, you do that while I talk. Here's what really matters. Life is meaningful because of Jesus. And so let's enjoy life as God intended. Let's enjoy life. Let's worship God. Let's obey his words. Let's obey what he says will bring lasting meaning and enjoy this life. And not only that, but here's my encouragement and challenge for us as a church is let's lead others. Let's encourage others by our example and yes, by our words that, you know what, this life of following Jesus is the most meaningful life you can live. Let's share that to others as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you.